On a quiet spring night in 2014, Boston College student Johnny Godolsky, over on Foster Street, who was half asleep and sure he was alone, heard the soft drag of footsteps outside his bedroom door. When he opened his eyes, there was a man in a gator-style ski mask standing in the doorway, perfectly still, as if he'd been watching him for a while. There was no words, no weapons, no ransacked drawers, just a silent intruder who slipped back into the dark and left behind a question that every student on that block started asking. How long has he been doing this? That wasn't the only night someone on Foster Street woke up to a stranger at the foot of their bed. It wasn't the only house where feet were touched. Doors creaked open, or a masked figure bolted the second someone moved. Once all these stories finally hit the news, students realized that their nightmares all pointed to the same name whispered around campus: the Boston Tickler. In this episode, we're going to walk through those nights, house by house, bedroom by bedroom, and try to figure out whether this was a ridiculous urban legend that got out of control, or one of the most unsettling prowlers to ever stalk a college town. About a month after Godolsky's encounter, on the night of April 7th, 2014, more reports of what many believe was the same man apparently hit multiple homes in rapid succession. At approximately 3:45 a.m., Jake Barrows, a BC junior also living on Foster Street and a housemate of Godolsky's, woke up to see someone standing at the foot of his bed. According to his words, someone was standing at the end of the bed. By the time I realized that there was someone really there, he was booking it right out my door, Barrows told Boston.com. Barrows told reporters that he hadn't slept in his room since that night. Just over an hour after Barrows' encounter on that same night, Billy Buckley, who also lived on Foster Street, woke up to see someone opening his bedroom door. He called out his roommate's name, but got no response. The figure slowly crept away from the door, then sprinted down the stairs and slammed the front door on the way out. Now think about that for a second. Two break-ins in the same cluster of houses, barely an hour apart. This wasn't random. Whoever this was knew the neighborhood, knew the layout, and wasn't afraid to come back. Now, after a cluster of break-ins around Boston College hit the news, people started connecting the dots. More students came forward with stories of odd late-night encounters, some going back years before these incidents. And those earlier reports were even stranger than the most recent stories that were made public. A separate incident occurred on a Sunday in October 2013, when Boston College junior Teddy Riddell, who lived on Radnor Road, was jolted awake at 5 a.m. by the sound of someone running down the stairs of his house. I thought my roommate had fallen down the steps, but then he started yelling. I got up and he said that he had woken up to someone touching his feet. Riddell confirmed that nothing was stolen, despite laptops and wallets being out in the main room of the house. Also on a Sunday in October 2013, BC junior Daniel Morenzi reported waking up to his feet being tickled. According to Morenzi, "I thought my friend was trying to annoy me, but I soon realized it wasn't anyone that I knew. I freaked out and sat up, but he was already on the way out." After that, Morenzi said that he and his housemates started locking all their doors. But here's what's unsettling. Boston Police Sergeant Michael O'Hara, the community service officer for the district covering Alston and Brighton, pointed out that most of these off-campus students hadn't been locking their doors at all. In his words, "You don't know what this guy is going to do, or if he has a weapon." These stories were all made public on May 27, 2014, when Boston.com published the first major article naming actual victims and quoting Sergeant O'Hara, who confirmed at least 10 sightings over the prior 2 years, and stated bluntly, This is no myth. It's happening. Victims described the suspect as 5'8", African-American male of an unknown age, wearing dark clothing and a hoodie, and some students reported that the man had also been watching them through the windows while committing a sexual act on himself. The story immediately went national, being picked up by multiple news outlets, and notoriously dubbed the strange man the name the Boston Tickler. However, just one day later, on May 28, 2014, Boston police issued an update that significantly walked back the scope of the claims. The department stated that they had only identified one incident in the last 2 years where a foot was actually touched, and that they knew of no police reports referring to any actions that could be described as tickling. But here's where it gets complicated. The students were on record, by name, describing exactly that. So either the police were downplaying the situation to prevent a panic, or the students were exaggerating. Either way, the break-ins themselves were never denied. The voyeurism was never denied. The only thing in dispute was whether the word tickling belonged in the story. The tickler would strike again on the morning of Tuesday, June 10, 2014, when three separate break-ins occurred within roughly 90 minutes and within a quarter mile of each other in Brighton, beginning at 4 a.m. on Foster Street and spanning out to Kirkwood Road. Boston College student David Master told Fox 25 that his roommate woke up to a man tickling his feet. In his words, "My roommate felt a tickling on his foot and he thought it was the cat," Master said. "He woke up and there was a man crouched right by his bed. He yelled and kicked at the guy, and he ran out. And I woke up from the yelling and saw him run past my bedroom door." In all three incidents that day, the intruder wore a mask, nothing was stolen, and the doors had been left unlocked. Police spokeswoman Neva Coakley told the Boston Globe that residents of all three homes described the man as wearing light-colored clothing and a black face mask, a slightly different description from the earlier dark clothing accounts. In fact, the physical descriptions were all over the place throughout the case. Some witnesses said that he was black. Others described him as a tall white man, which raised questions of whether this was one person committing this act, or whether Brighton had more than one nighttime prowler feeding into the same legend. Another student, Stefan Valencia, told Fox 25 that during the June 10th coverage that the tickler had broken into his house twice during the spring semester, both times in the middle of the night. "It's still a little bit funny that he tickles your feet," Valencia said, though police firmly disagreed, calling it no laughing matter. And that's the thing about this case. The name, the MO, it almost invites you to laugh. But strip the nickname away and what you actually have is a masked stranger who knows how to get into locked neighborhoods, who knows how to get into homes, who chooses homes full of sleeping people, enters their bedrooms in the dead of the night, and puts his hands on them. That's not a prank. That's a predator testing boundaries.
Looking for a fun night out? K1 Speed puts you behind the wheel for an adrenaline-filled time you and your friends will never forget. Off the track, the fun keeps rolling with arcade games, great food, and drinks. They even have private party rooms for your birthday parties and corporate outings. Race hard, laugh harder, and claim your spot on the podium. K1 Speed. More than racing, it's an experience.
In August 2014, a possibly related incident surfaced in the same Brighton neighborhood. A woman living near 1850 Commonwealth Ave reported a peeping Tom who had been returning to her first floor window repeatedly starting August 1st. Her boyfriend first saw the man's face pressed against the glass and confronted him. The man claimed that he was looking for his dog and he ran away. But despite this confrontation, the man returned on August 6th and again around midnight on August 13th, when the woman's security camera captured him peering into her window at a time she was in the shower. I think this is the scariest part of this, is how undaunted he seems to be, the victim told Fox 25. There's a tall hedge he has to climb over or circumvent and then cross a lawn and duck underneath a brush. And even then, when the bars are put up by the window or he's confronted by my boyfriend, he comes back twice after that. Police investigated but did not publicly confirm whether this was the same individual as the tickler. After the summer of 2014, no further confirmed incidents tied to the Boston Tickler were publicly reported by news outlets or police. The case was never officially solved, and no arrest was ever made in connection with the tickling break-in specifically. A Reddit thread titled Boston's Vanishing Men, subreddit in 2023, revisited the case and noted that while the tickling element was somewhat dismissed as exaggerated or even a hoax, the underlying pattern of masked break-ins and voyeurism targeting young men near Boston College was real, confirmed by police, and never resolved. That thread also raised the unsettling point that this type of behavior, entering homes to watch people sleep, seeking power and control, is considered by criminal profilers to be a potential precursor to escalation. The thread cited research noting that voyeurs who develop serious repeated patterns are sometimes displaying early psychopathic tendencies. Serial offenders who seek total control over another person, starting by watching them in their most vulnerable state, and eventually, watching may not be enough. The thread also pointed out that the timing of these break-ins overlapped with a separate, still unexplained string of disappearances of young men in the greater Boston area, and that some students had even reported seeing the same masked intruder lurking near the Chestnut Hill Reservoir, the same location where Boston College student Franco Garcia went missing during that exact period. Now, to be clear, no law enforcement agency has ever publicly connected the tickler to those disappearances, but the overlap in timing, victim profile, and geography is the kind of coincidence that keeps people up at night. A commenter in that same thread posted in 2017 mentioned that a friend living in Brighton had caught someone climbing through a first floor window years after the media had stopped covering the story, which raises the question that no one wants to ask. Did the Boston Tickler actually stop, or did he just stop at making headlines? By the 2020s, the Boston Tickler had fully transitioned from active news to urban legend, referenced in TikTok true crime videos, Reddit deep dives, and listicles of creepy Boston folklore. During Halloween 2014, costumes inspired by the Boston Tickler were reportedly popular around Boston College's campus. A November 2025 post on the Boston College subreddit, simply titled The Boston Tickler, showed students still discussing him more than a decade later, with some treating it as campus mythology, and others insisting that the break-ins were very real. Here's one standout story posted on that subreddit by CB3B. I was a student during the 2014 Brighton Tickler scare and was actually doing a summer business class program at BC at the time when one of the other students in the program was tickled. This would have happened in June or July. I'm a little fuzzy on the details, but from what I remember, the break-ins were happening in the Kirkwood Foster area over the course of a couple of months. That Channel 5 story pretty much covers what most of us knew at the time. I don't recall anyone suspecting any of the Jesuits, though. Most of us assumed it was just some creep who lived in the area. We also didn't take it particularly seriously until it happened to that other program student. Either way, I don't recall there ever being an arrest. The incidents just stopped happening after a certain point. There was also another subreddit posted on Boston called The Brighton Stalker Has Been Arrested. According to a screenshot posted in this post, it says, "Hey everyone, I just wanted to let everyone know that the Brighton Stalker has been arrested and is being held without chance of bail. He broke into my house Monday night, Tuesday morning, in Brighton near Roadrunner. We don't know how he got in or how long he had been in the house, but at least from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. When my roommate woke up for work at 5 a.m., she saw him running out of our back door and down the street. Luckily, a cruiser was in the neighborhood and immediately patrolled the area and chased him down and arrested him. He's the exact same man, described as a 5'7 white male, who started off peeping in people's windows and escalated to breaking into people's homes and either moving things around or watching people sleep. Everyone in my house is fine, and I think we can all sleep easier knowing that he's in custody. Please lock your windows, lock your doors, install safety bars on AC units, and stay alert. Although this post claimed that a Brighton stalker had been arrested, it's quite unclear whether this was actually tied to the Boston Tickler. There was another interesting comment made by a user named ComfortableAd8608. They claimed to be part of class of 2015, and they said that the Tickler was very much a hot topic of conversation for all of them. There was a persistent rumor that the Tickler was a title passed down from year to year on a men's sports team, as in every year, they made some freshmen go tickle a girl's foot, and that the new Tickler this year had let it go too far when he realized people left their doors unlocked in Brighton. There's also rumors that there were a lot of copycat ticklers, as I suggested earlier in the podcast. Whatever the story is, the Boston Tickler has never officially been caught, and this urban legend still persists at Boston College. As we wrap up this episode, remember this. The students in this story didn't live in rundown buildings or dangerous neighborhoods. They lived where everyone told them they were safe. They didn't bother to lock. The windows they left cracked for air. The dark hallways they stumbled through half asleep, those were the openings he used. The Boston Tickler didn't need to break in. He just needed you to believe that nothing bad could happen while you slept.